So Rabbosai, we're looking at a machlokes in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Aleph, Omid Aleph, towards the bottom of the Amud, between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir makes his statement, and the Chachamim try to disprove it from a story that took place in Yerushalayim. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that a person cannot stand in one rishus and open up a door in another rishus, or lock a door in another rishus. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. And this expressed itself in two different cases. Number one, we have the case where he's standing in Rishus HaYachid and he's trying to either open or lock a door with a key that's in Rishus HaRabim, like out in the Shuk. Or number two, he's standing in the Rishus HaRabim and he wants to lock his private door in Rishus HaYachid. And in both cases, Rabbi Meir prohibits it unless he sets up a mechitza. Now, before we get to the mechitza of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir is worried about the possibility that if you allow him to stick his hand out with a key and lock or unlock a door, he might be tempted inadvertently to bring the key back to where he's standing and violate Meleches Hotzah. Now, the only solution that Rabbi Meir offers is to set up a mechitza, which means that, let's say he's standing in Rishus HaRabim, in the second case of Rabbi Meir. And the problem would be if he grabs onto the key and takes it from Rishus HaYochid out to Rishus HaRabim, he's violating Meleches Hotzah. But if he surrounds himself with a mechitza that's 10 tefachim high, then he's actually standing in Rishus HaYochid, so that there's no problem if, in the worst case scenario, he would carry the key from Rishus HaYochid back into Rishus HaYochid. And the Chachamim disprove Rabbi Meir from a story that took place in Yerushalayim, and apparently it was a very accepted kind of thing that in Yerushalayim they had marketplaces, and the status of those marketplaces is a little bit unclear, but let's assume they were Rishus HaRabim. And in the markets there were, again, here there's a nuance of a difference, whether we're talking about a butcher's market or whether we're talking about those who sold wool. But whatever it is, what they did was they would stand in Rishus HaRabim and lock up their stores, and they would leave the key on a window which was on the opening entranceway into their stores. And that window had the status of Rishus HaYochid. So imagine, this disproves Rabbi Meir because they're standing in Rishus HaRabim, locking the door of their stores and leaving the key on the windowsill, which has, if it's 10 tefachim above the ground and it's 4 tefachim wide, has the status of Rishus HaYochid. And we're not afraid that maybe he would carry the mafteach, he would bring the mafteach back to where he's standing in Rishus HaRabim. Now, all this is predicated on the assumption that Yerushalayim has the status of Rishus HaRabim. And that's what the sugya is going to be analyzing. So let's go straight away to the sugya. V'rabbanan, and here you have to add a few words. V'rabbanan, I don't understand what the Rabbanan are talking about. What was their counter-argument against Rabbi Meir? Omer Rabbi Meir, Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Meir was talking about Gzera, that if he's standing out in Rishus HaRabim, he may be tempted to take the key from the Rishus HaYochid and bring it back to him where he's standing in Rishus HaRabim. Well, Mahadri Inu and the Rabbanon contend and counter-argue with a story about Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a Carmelis. Yushalayim is only an Isur Drabbanan. In other words, even in the worst case scenario, if, let's say, this butcher, after he locks up his butchery, he would carry the key back with him into where he's standing, he's not standing in a Rishus HaRabim. He's standing in a Carmelis. Now, we have to understand the premise that underlies this kasha of the Gemara. When the Gemara says the Rabbanan's objection from the story of the Shuk Shel Ptamim or Shuk Shel Tzamarim in Yerushalayim is not a valid objection because they were standing in a Carmelis, why does the Gemara assume that Yerushalayim is a Carmelis? And for that, we're going to have to analyze a statement of Rabbi Yochanan, which is coming around the bend. But before we do that, the general structure of the Gemara's objection is the following. A Gzeira D'Rabbanan makes sense when the possibility exists that we're afraid of a violation of a D'Oraisa. Meaning if he carries from Rishus HaYochid and he takes the key out to Rishus HaRabim, that would be a full-fledged violation of Malechus HaTzah. But in the case of a Carmelis, in the worst-case scenario, he'll only be violating an Isur D'Rabbanan. And in that case, we have what's called a Gzeira L'Gzeira. You're afraid that he'll grab the key from Rishus HaYochid, bring it out to where he's standing in a Carmelis, not in Rishus HaRabim. Well, the Carmelis itself is not a Rishus HaRabim on a D'Oraisa level. And he hasn't violated Melechus Hotzah. It's only Midrabanan that mitzad the Gzeir of Carmelis, they were afraid people would equate a Carmelis with Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, if they would allow carrying from Rishus HaYochid into a Carmelis, people would carry from Rishus HaYochid into a Rishus HaRabim. So now you have a double Gzeira. It's not fair for the Rabbanan to try to disprove Rabbi Meir when Rabbi Meir is talking about Gzeira Otu Eidoraisa, and the Chachamim's case of Yushalayim that they quote was a Carmelis. It's very logical that we can make that distinction, allow you to take the key and lock your butchery in a Rishus HaYochid, even though you're standing out there in what looks like a Rishus HaRabim, but is not technically Rishus HaRabim, as Rabbi Yochanan is going to point out. And that's because the Rishus HaRabim requires what's called mefulash, that, you know, you can go from one end to the other and exit, but Yerushalayim had doors that were locked, and therefore Yerushalayim did not have the status of a Rishus HaRabim. Again, we're going to see that in just a minute. So therefore, the equation and the analogy of the Rabbanan in our Mishnah is not a fair analogy. How could they object based on the story of the Shuk? The story of the Shuk of Yerushalayim was the story of a Carmelis. Now, I do want to point out here that it's not so poshut to assume that the status of a Carmelis is equal to that of a Gzeira D'Rabbanan. Carmelis itself might be elevated, upgraded to the status of a quasi-doraisa, such that we might have gzeros that apply even to a Carmelis. And I base this on a sugya that we had earlier, and I'll mention the sugya in passing, at least, and maybe we'll get a chance to look at it. And that is a sugya back on, just one second, where is it? Just one second. Oh, let's see if I found it. Okay, so I'm still looking for it. I'm going to find it in Mitzvah Hashem, but it's a sugi about Abaye v'Rava. But in the meantime, before we get to that, oh, Yeah. It's a sugya that we had about drinking when he is standing in one rishus and he stretches his neck out to drink in another rishus. And that was the sugya back on Sadites about two blot ago. And the Chachamim say that it's Asur, and it's Machlokas Abai V'Rava as to why and when it's Asur. Abai says it's actually Asur in a case of a caramelist. We're afraid that he might take something into a caramelist. And the Gemara there says that in the case of caramelists, the Chazal saw a need to make a gzera ligzera. No, it's normally the prul is ain goes in gzera ligzera. So Belinetta will try to come back to that as we go along. But I just wanted to say up front that right now the Gemara is operating with a premise that has to be questioned, that has to be investigated, namely that caramelists is a classic derabbanon, a gzera derabbanon. And it makes sense, therefore, in the Maisa B'Shuk Shel Patomim, that there they would apply the principle of Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera, and therefore the Chachamim have no leg to stand on to object to Rabbi Meir. Because again, the Shuk in Yerushalayim has the status of a caramelist, not of that of Yerushalayim, of a Rishus Rav. Now, where does the Gemara base itself on this premise that Yerushalayim is only a caramelist? The Omar Rabba Bar Bachana Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim Il Mole Dal Soseh Nin Olos Balayla Chayovim Ole Mishum Rishus Arab. So Rabbi Yochanan says the following, that in a theoretical world the status of Yerushalayim is equal to that of a Rishus HaRab, because plenty of people walk through Yerushalayim. However, since the doors that lead into Yerushalayim are locked during the night hours, therefore Yerushalayim does not have the status of Rishus HaRab. So on the one hand, Yerushalayim is a Rishus HaRabim, in theory, because Rabim Bokim Ba. On the other hand, now that they lock the doors at night, then even during the day, the status of Yerushalayim is that of a caramelist. And here we have a long discussion about whether or not the status of Yerushalayim should change from night to day. And during the nighttime, when they lock the doors, then Yerushalayim becomes a Rishus Karmelis, meaning it's Mufka from being a Rishus Rabin, but during the day maybe it should return to its state of being a Rishus Rabin.
It's surrounded by walls.
Right, but if the walls are open, in other words, if the gates of the walls are open, that makes it into Rishus Rabin.
You put a Suras HaPesach by the Pirtza, you shouldn't have any problem.
Even what? Even if it's open, even if the doors were open, you mean?
If you put a Suras HaPesach over the Pirtza, and even if you have Shishi Gribo, it should be Shishus HaYochid.
I don't know that there was any. Again, I don't know the details of what motivated them, but right now, let's assume that there was no Tzuras HaPesach. If they wanted to make it into a Rishus HaYochid, then we have the sugya of, you remember we had a sugya about Ir Shel Yochid, Ir Shel Rabim, whether we have to divide it up into smaller neighborhoods and set up an area of, but right now, let's work with the premise that
the doors are open
that night, and I'm sorry, the doors are closed at night. I'm just trying to figure out this one piece of the puzzle here, that if the doors are closed at night, why does that have an impact during the day? So I'm just going to read to you a little bit of a note here that I have. he says, "Tanai mitanai reshus aravim." If you go back to the sugya in Shabbos Davav, you know, the famous sugya of Dalad Rishuyasem L'Shabbos, one of the conditions is Shetehe Mefuleshes V'Rabim Bokimba V'Ein Sharea Nin Olim. And this is derived from Digle Midbar. Shareba Midbar U'Mimeno L'Meidim Es Tzuras Moleches Shabbos Lo hayu shi'arim nin olim. So we are bound by the Digle Midbar to derive our definition and our conditions for Rishus HaRabim. And in the case of the Midbar, they didn't have shi'arim nin olim. So the area of the Machnos was totally open on all sides. He says the following. Ilu hayu ma'arvin es Yerushalayim. Right, he's talking about if, let's say, the shiurim are not locked, hayso nasis v'shayochid gemura, el befoal lo irbuha, they didn't make an eruv, lachein nechshavos mivoseha kishal rab shalo irva. And he says the following. Now, there's a point here that's a little bit more futuristic for us. We're not ready for this. But keep in mind, I'm talking to myself, that there's going to be a difference between what's called a chatzah shel rabim, shelo irva, and a karmelis. They're not exactly the same, although they sound pretty similar. A chatzah shel rabim is ke'ein karmelis, and therefore you're not allowed to carry from chatzeros into the chatzah shel rabim, from batim into chatzah shel rabim. But within the chatzah shel rabim itself, apparently, as we'll learn later on, you're allowed to carry four amos. But in the case of a karmelis, you're not even allowed to carry four amos. Okay, so this is something that Mirz Hashem will get to later on. So let's just summarize what we have over here. In Rishus HaRabim, which we derive from Midbar, we have to have what's called Psuchim. It's got to be Ein Sharea Nin Olam. It's open 24/7, so to speak. But in the case of Yerushalayim, it falls short of that condition because it has shiurim nin olim. And even though the shiurim nin olim only at night, that already undermines the status of Yerushalayim as a Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, its status is that of, again, either a chatzah shel rabim or perhaps a karmelis mamish. That's something that we'll figure out. Okay, so now we're stuck, and we're trying to understand the objection of the rabbanan. Amar Rav Papa, kan kodem shenifritzu ba pratzos. Kanli achar shenifritzu ba pratzos. We're going to differentiate between Rabbi Yochanan and the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a later period of time. The Mefarshim say that Rabbi Yochanan was giving Yerushalayim the original status of Yerushalayim way back when, even before the Mishnah. He's only using Yerushalayim as a theoretical example to convey a principle in abstract terms. So he's not describing the reality of Yerushalayim. The reality of Yerushalayim is li'achar shenifritzu ba pratzos, which is the situation of the Rabbanan and Mishnah. Now, if it's Nifritzu Bar Protos, then there was no locking up of Yerushalayim. The walls that surrounded Yerushalayim were broken down. Now, this concept of a pirtza we learned at the beginning of Masechet Erevin is a breach in a wall that's more than 10 amos in width. And Rabbeinu Chananel apparently understands that we're talking about the period post the Yevanim. And it says in the Gemara about the Yevanim that Partsu b'yimei ha-Yevanim pirtos. And as a result of the pirtos, people would be able to go through these pirtos. It was Shishim Ribui, and it had the status of Rishus HaRabim. So again, it's interesting that Rabbi Yochanan, Ke'ilu, I'll explain to you what I mean by Ke'ilu, is describing a period of time that predates the Mishnah, that means before the Yevanim. And that's called Kodem Shenifritzu Protos. So it's a little bit odd. So that he's talking about a situation where Yerushalayim was surrounded by Machitzos, but they locked the doors at night. And once they locked the doors at night, then Yerushalayim loses its status of Rishus HaRabim and it becomes a Karmos. And in that period of time, if the Rabbanim were talking about something that happened at the time before the Yevanim, then they would have no argument and no proof from the Maisa in the Shvakim against Rabbi Meir, because then they would be talking about Kodem Shenifritzu Bar Protos, which is a time period in which Yerushalayim was in fact surrounded by walls without protos, and the status of Yerushalayim depended upon Nin Olas Balayla. So Rabbi Yochanan says that Yerushalayim is a Karmelis. Then the Rabbanan have no argument and no proof against Rabbi Meir. However, the Rabbanan are talking about a later period in time of Partsu Bo Protos, and therefore there was no Ninolos at all. I mean, the Protos were absolutely open, so the Rabin Bokimbo, I mean, the Shishim Ribui would just simply go in and out of Yerushalayim through the Protos. The Protos were open, as we said before, more than 10 Amos, and therefore the status of Yerushalayim is now that of Rishus HaRabin. And if that be the case, that the Rabbanan now have a very good analogy and a question on Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said that you're not allowed to lock up your doors in Yerushalayim in a Rishus HaYochid if you're standing in Rishus HaRabim. And the Rabbanan say, well, what about the Shuk Shel Tabachim? I mean, in that case, they locked up their stores even though they were standing in a Rishus HaRabim, because it's Liachar Shenifritzu Ba Protos. So that's Rav Papa's explanation and justification of the kasha and the proof that the Rabbanon raised against Rabbi Meir. Rava has a different interpretation. Now Rava is going to assume the same premise that we started with when we objected to the Rabbanon's objection, namely that Yerushalayim is a Karmelis, as Rabbi Yochanan says, because it's Dal Soseha and Olos Balayla, that makes Yerushalayim into a Karmelis. And now, we're going to have to shift our understanding of Rabbi Meir. We thought, and that's what the Gemara thought in the Havamina before Rava, that Rabbi Meir would only make his Gzera in the case of a Rishus HaRabim. But now Rava is going to turn it around, and Rabbi Meir made his gzera even in a case of Karmelis. In other words, Rabbi Meir does not differentiate between a Rishus HaRabim and a Karmelis. And therefore, Seifa, which means the proof that the Rabbanon invoked from Yerushalayim, Asan L'Sharei Gina, And we're referring to the gates into a Carmelis. A Gina, like a Bika, has the status of a Carmelis. And now he wants to stand in one Rishus and lock up the gates that are in another Rishus. Which Rishus is that? That's a Carmelis, because he's locking up Shari Gina. Now Rava reads the Mishnah and adds a piece to the Mishnah, Hachikamar. Here's how we have to read the Mishnah. We're going to have to add something to Rabbi Meir. V'chein, lo yamod b'rishus ha-yachid. A person should not be standing in a rishus ha-yachid. And he stretches his hand out into what we call a gina. And there's some sort of an opening or a crack, and he's going to be able to take a key, the yiftach, and he's going to be able to open up the gates of this gina, big Carmelis. And he's going to say that if he's standing in Rishus HaYachid, he's not allowed to open up a gate in a Carmelis, and the reverse is also true. Be Carmelis, v'yiftach b'rishus rabbi. He's not allowed to stand in a Carmelis, take the mafteach from Rishus HaYachid, and either open or lock that door in Rishus HaYachid, because we're afraid that maybe he'll take the mafteach to the Rishus where he's standing, and he'll be violating a havara from one Rishus to a Rishus d'Rabbana, meaning to a Carmelis. And if that's the pshat in Rabbi Meir, and here we're going to turn to Daf Kuf Alf on the days. Okay, Elim Kain Osa Mechitza Gavah Asar Tom D'Rabbi Meir. Is Amru Lo, now we understand the objection of the Chachamim. Aisa B'shuk Shel P'tomim Shahoy B'Yushalayim. And now we're assuming, like Rabbi Yochanan, that the status of Yerushalayim is equal to that of a Carmelis, because it's Dalsos Nu'ulos Balayla. Shayu Na'alim, that they would lock up their stores, and Meinichem Es HaMavteach B'Chalon Shal Gabei HaPesach. So they were standing in a Carmelis, meaning in the streets of Yerushalayim, which have the status of a Carmelis, and they would lock their doors, and the mafteach was on this chalon, on this window of their butchery, which had the status of Rishus HaYochid. So we see that they were lenient, and they allowed standing in a Carmelis to be metaltel the mafteach, to carry the to move the mafteach in order to lock up Rishus HaYochid. They weren't afraid that maybe he's going to take the key out to a Carmelis. Rabbi Yossi Yom Shuk Shel Tamarim. So whatever the case may be, whether Shuk Shel Tabachim, Shuk Shel Tamarim, but it was a Carmelis. Why? Because we're accepting Rabbi Yochanan, and the status of Yerushalayim is that of a Carmelis, Kostal Sosan Nulos Balayla. And yet they were lenient about locking the doors and leaving the Mafteach on the windowsill, which had the status of Rishus HaYochid, even though they were standing out in the shuk, in a Carmelis. And you see, Ein Gozrin Gzeira L'Gzeira, we're not afraid that maybe he'll carry the mafteach back to the place where he's standing in Yerushalayim in a Carmelis, because a Carmelis itself is only a Gzeira D'Rabbana. Whereas Rabbi Meir holds, no, that we're not going to allow you to stand in a Carmelis and lock the door in a Rishus HaYochid, or the reverse, we're not going to allow you to stand in a Rishus HaYochid and lock the door of the Shari Gina, which have the status of a Carmelis, because we're afraid that you might come to violate an Iser Carmelis, meaning an Iser of Rishus D'Rabbana. And that's what we have so far. It could be that, now we really have to analyze the sugya of Rav and Abaye about the Chachamim, as I said, with regard to Shtia, I don't know if we have the ability to do that right now, but let's just take a look back on Daf Tzadites for just a moment and see if we can refresh our memories here about Abai Varova. Okay. Here it is, Tzadites Omer Aleph. And it's the Mishnah on the bottom. It says, Lo yamad odom shus hayochid v'yishte b'rshus haram b'rshus haram v'yishte b'rshus hayochid. And we're going to have to require a kind of a shinui, but to do it normally, in the normal way, we're not going to allow it. Elen kein hichnis rosho v'rubo l'mokom shushose. So the Gemara says, Reisha Rabbanon v'seifa Rabbi Meir, okay. That's not for us. Iboilehu, Carmelis Mai. What would be the din if he wants to drink in a Carmelis? Or, on the contrary, he's standing in a Carmelis and he wants to drink in Rosh Hashayachid or Rosh Hasharabim. Om Rabbi Hihi, Om Rabbi Hi Gufa Gzera, Vanan Nikum Vinigzar Gzera Ligzera. So let's go backwards. We'll start with Rava. Rava is a little bit more intuitive. Rava says that the Iser of taking something from Rosh Hasharab into a Carmelis, or from Rosh Hasharab into a Carmelis, or from a Rosh Hasharab and Rosh Hasharab out to a Carmelis, is only Gzera Drabana. So what are we afraid of? We're afraid that when he drinks, he might drink from a utensil, and then he's going to take his utensil back to where he is. That itself is a Gzera D'Rabbanon. And now we're going to make a Gzera D'Rabbanon onto a Gzera D'Rabbanon of Carmelis. And yet Abai says, he. Which means that with regard to the same din that applies to Rishus HaRab and Rishus HaYochid, that you can't stand in one Rishus and drink in another Rishus, applies even in the case of a Carmelis. You're not allowed to stand in a Carmelis and drink in Rosh Hasharab or in Rosh Hashayachid. And Abai on the top of Daf Tzadites Amid Beis derives this from the words V'chein Begas, because the status of a Gas is that of a Carmelis. And the Mishnah went out of its way to add these two words, V'chein Begas, to teach us that the same halacha of Rabbi Meir in this Mishnah, again, it doesn't mention Rabbi Meir's name over here, but let's assume for argument's sake that this Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Meir. That's a theoretical possibility. Then the Mishnah adds V'chein Begas to tell you that a person is not allowed to stand in Rosh Hashayachid and drink not only in Rosh Hasharabim or vice versa, but even in a Carmelis, like the case of a Gas. And the Mishnah is telling me that if I stand in Rosh Hasharabim and I stretch my neck out, again, not Rov Gufa, but my neck out, into the Gas, and I drink from the Gas, then that's prohibited on Shabbos because the Gas has the status of a Carmelis. And Rava says, V'chein Begas has nothing to do with our Mishnah. It's just simply a grafted two words that have to do with Meiser. You may remember some of this. I mean, for me, this is like refreshing my memory. But one thing you see here, that there's a possibility, according to Abai at least, of interpreting the Mishnah of V'chein Begas as a case of a Carmelis, prohibiting drinking in a Carmelis when you have to stretch your neck out into Rosh Hasharab or Rosh Hasharab or Yogh, or again, or the reverse. So again, this opens up a whole discussion about Carmelis and what status does a Carmelis have exactly. I mean, just to shoot from the hip, we have the sheet of Rebbe that Kol Mashe Gozru Chacham Bishum Shvus Lo Gozru Ben Hashmoshos. Would that apply to a Carmelis? Maybe that's totally in this machlokas Abai v'Rava. And then we have Rabbi Kiviger's distinction in terms of a mumar, whether a mumar lechol Shabbos derabbanan is called a mumar midrabbanan, of course, lechol tarkula, because he's violating the Shabbos. And we had that whole essay, if you recall, from Rav Schechter in Ikve Atzon, in Eretz Hatzvi, I think it was, in which he differentiates between Molochos Derabbanan and Gzeros Derabbanan. So again, just shooting from the hip, again, I don't have that essay in front of me right now, I have it here somewhere. It could be that would be depend upon this machlokus between Abai and Rava. But then, you know, it's going to get really messy and sticky, because the way we're understanding the Gemara now, it's machlokus between Rebbe and the Chacham, Rebbe Meir and the Chacham. So how could it be that Abaye is interpreting a Stam Mishnah against the Rabbanah? Unless, again, you know, you'd have to really research this, that maybe the Mishnah back on Tzadites, although Rabbi Meir's name is not mentioned, but Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, I don't know. But just mentioning on a conceptual level, we have to really analyze what the status of a Karmelis is. The Rabbanah made it, you know, they upgraded it to the status of Rishus HaRavim, or it's just a Gzerah. All right, so now we're up to the Gemara on the top of Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, after the two dots, about five lines down, Tana Rabbanah. Now, we discussed in the previous Gemara something called Shari Gina, and we said that Shari Gina are the locks that will open up into a Karmelis. Tana Rabbanah, we learned in a Braisa, Pischei Shari Gina. So the Gina itself, we said, is a Karmelis. And outside of the Gina, there's a Rishus HaRav. Now, there's a Pesach that separates between the Karmelis and Rishus HaRavim. And there's a lock in the Shari Gina. Now, I'm going to assume that the lock in the Shari Gina is above 10 tfachim from the karka. And if it has the width of arba al arba tfachim, then it is a Rishus HaYachid. So just by way of like introduction here, we have a case where there's a Rishus HaRavim, there's a Pesach, which might have the status of a Rishus HaYochid, and then there's the Gina beyond the Pesach, has the status of a Karmelis. So the Braisa says the following: am I allowed to stand and lock these Sha'arim, the Sha'arim of the Gina? Bizman Sheyeshlem Beis Shar Mibifnim is poseach v'nol mibifnim. If there's a little house, a bayis katan, which is called a beis shar, and what they had was, apparently, you would go into this little house from Rishus HaRabim, and you would end up going through that house into the Gina. So in effect, the Pesach was really the Pesach of a Beis Shar. Right? We called it Pischei Shari Gina, but now we're going to sort of make a little amendment here, and it's Pischei Beis Shari Gina. Now, the question is, where is he standing? Is he locking the door? Like, let's say you have a door, right? So you can either lock the door from the outside on your way out, or you might want to lock the door from the inside so that people on the outside can't get in. So that's the subject of this braisa. Where is he standing? And where is he locking the door? He says, case number one is mibifnim. In other words, he's standing inside the gina and poseach v'noel mibifnim. In other words, if he's standing inside the base shar, which we said was a house that separated the Rishon LeZion from the gina, and now he wants to either open or lock the door of the base shar from the inside. So it means that if he's inside the house, and we said that the shar itself is a Rishus HaYochid, it's above 10 tefachim and it's 4 tefachim wide, then basically he is carrying from one Rishus HaYochid into another Rishus HaYochid, or for that matter, it's all one Rishus HaYochid. No, it's his action takes place from A to Z in Rishus HaRabim. I'm sorry, in Rishus HaYochid, in the same Rishus HaYochid. But now we have the other case. Let's say he's standing outside the Beis Shar, and he wants to either open or lock the entranceway to the Beis Shar. Is then Mibachutz, if he's standing out in Rishus HaRabim, is Poseach V'Noel Mibachutz. Now, what does that mean? He can open or close the door from the outside. Which is very interesting, because the outside, we said, was a Rishus HaYochid. Okay, fine. So we have to figure out, why is he allowed to open or lock the Beis Shar Mibachutz? So perhaps Mibachutz here means that even though he is standing outside the Beis Shar, but nevertheless the Rishus HaRabim is behind him, and what's in front of him is the Rishus HaYochid, he's not inside the house, but he's in the Pesach Beis Shar, and we said the Pesach Beis Shar has the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. Okay, now we get to Mikan Umikan. So now he has a Beis Shar Mikan Umikan. We don't know what that means, but he says Poseach V'Noel Kan, meaning Mikan Umikan. Okay. So I'm not sure what the Bryce is adding here. Let me just read to you the English translation here. We're on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. Let's see if we can find this. He says the following. He's got doors of this Beis Shar, the Shari Gino, right? The Gino we said is the caramels. Fine. Bizman Shehem Beis Shar Mibifnim Sheish Beis Shar Bifnim. So there's a booth which has a Rishus HaYochid status on the garden side of the gate, and the gate opens into it. Just 1 second, let me see if I understand what he's saying over here. There's a booth that has the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid, and on which side is it? So he's got a gate, and the gate opens up into a base shar. So there's the shar, and then there's the base shar. And on the gina side of the shar, we have a Beis Shar. Is Poseach V'Noel Mibifnim, So if he's locking it from the garden side while standing in the gatehouse, very confusing. He's standing in the gatehouse, that's the Beis Shiar. And what is he doing? He's locking the gate. Well, again, what is the status of the gate? He says that the gatehouse is a booth that has the status of Rishus Hayochid. What's the status of the gate itself? That's not clear to me. Anyway, he says, Poseach v'nol mi v'fnim. So in other words, he's standing on the inside of this house and he's locking the gate. Oh. But now let's say he's standing not inside on the garden side of this shire, but he's standing outside the base shire. Okay? So I thought that if he's standing on the outside of the Beis Shiar, then he's in a Rishus HaRabim. But then how do you read the next line? Mi bachutz Poseach v'noel mi bachutz. Oh, I thought mi bachutz means that he's standing in Rishus HaRabim. No. That can't be. How could it be that he's standing in Rishus HaRabim and he's Poseach v'noel mi bachutz? I mean, the Beis Shiar itself is Rishus HaYochid. So he says here that mi bachutz means that the Beis Shiar is mi bachutz. Not he standing mi bachutz, but the Beis Shiar is mi bachutz. So what does that mean, the Beis Shiar is mi bachutz? We always assume that the Beis Shiar means you go through the gate into a bayis and then from there into the gina. But now we're saying something else. Mi bachutz, that the Beis Shiar is mi bachutz. So where is the Beis Shiar? It means that the Shiar itself is on the inside towards the gina, and the Beis Shiar is on the outside, meaning on the Rishus HaRabim side of the Shiar. So again, until now, we said mi bifnim, that you enter into the Shiar, and then you get into a Beis Shiar, from which you enter into the Gina. And therefore, if he's standing in the Bayis, in the Beis Shiar, he's in Rishus HaYochid, he can lock the door of the gate of the Shiar itself, because the Shiar is also part of Rishus HaYochid. Oh. Now we're relocating the Beis Shiar, and the gate to the Shiar is on the other side of the Bayis, meaning on the Gina side of the Bayis. So the Bayis side is, oddly enough, on the Rishus HaRabim side, the opposite side of the Gina, is then Poseach v'noel mibachutz. What does that mean? He says, Poseach v'noel mibachutz. One may lock and unlock the gate from the outside. While standing in the gatehouse, but not from the garden side. It's very confusing to me. He's standing in the gatehouse. We just said the gatehouse is on the outside of the gate, right? Towards Rishus HaRabim. And now he's standing in the gatehouse, which is towards the Rishus HaRabim. And he's going to lock the gate while he's standing in the base Shiar. Okay. It means that what? That the base Shiar is Rishus HaYochid, and the Shiar itself that leads you into the Gina is a Rishus HaYochid, and therefore, once again, he's standing in a Rishus HaYochin, he's locking the door or opening the door in a Rishus HaYochin. Okay. So again, the main point is here that Mibachutz does not mean, because this was boggling my mind, that he's standing out in Rishus HaRab. Mibachutz just means the direction in which he's going to lock the door. In other words, Mibachutz means that he's moving forward, so to speak, towards the Rishus HaRabim to lock his door, to lock the gate, I should say. Whereas Mibachutz means he's locking the gate of the Gina by turning towards the Gina, not turning towards the Rishus HaRabim. It's just a matter of direction. But in both cases, he's standing in Rishus HaYochid and he's locking the door in Rishus HaYochid. All right, let's see now what Mikan Umikan is. So he says here, Mikan Umikan means that there are two base shars. There's a base shar on the Gina side and a base shar on the Rishus HaRabim side. I'm not exactly sure. I wish I had a diagram of this, how that would look, Mikan and Mikan. No, I don't have any diagrams. Okay. So that's what we have here. So we'll have to deal with it on a more of an abstract level. He's got a base shar that leads into another base shar. There's one base shar that is towards Rishus HaRabim, and there's another base shar that's towards the Rishus HaYochid. I'm sorry, towards the Gina in this case. Is Poseach v'noel mikan v'kan. So again, he can stand in any Beis Shar, which is Rishus HaYochid, and he can lock the gate. So he might be moving towards the Rishus HaRabim if he's in the Beis Shar that's towards the Gina, or he might be towards the Gina if he's in the outer Beis Shar, which is closer to the Rishus HaRabim. Now, Ein Lahem Lo Lakan Ulakan, there's no Beis Shar, is then Asurim Kan V'Kan. Okay, so what does it mean, Kan U'Kan? So in the case where he's standing in Rishus HaRabim and he's locking the gate of the Carmelis, then he's standing in Rishus HaRabim and locking the gate in the Carmelis. But if, on the other hand, if he is standing in the Gino, which is a Carmelis, then why can't he lock the gate? Unless we assume that the gate itself, if there's no bias, is part of the Rishus HaRab. Yeah, but we said it's Lamala Miyud. If it's Lamala Miyud, then it's a Makom Patur. So what's the issue of standing in the Gina and locking the gate? Why does it say Asurim Kan U'Mikan? Again, if he's standing out in the Rishus HaRabim and he's locking his gate, which is a Carmelis, I understand. But if on the other hand he's standing on the inside, which is a Carmelis, then we have to assume that the gate itself has the status. What's the status of the gate? That's what I'm trying to figure out. If he's standing out in Rishus HaRabim, then obviously we're assuming that the status of the gate is that of a Carmel. So why can't he lock the gate if he's standing in the Gina? Because the gate itself is part of the Carmelis. This I don't understand. Asurim Kan U'Mikan. Let's just see if by chance. Oh, he says the following. Lo Lakan V'lo Lakan, meaning there's no Beis Shar, not here nor there. El Ashar Hagino Levado, Mafrid Ben HaKarmelis L'Rishus HaRab. So what separates the Gina, which is a Carmelis, from the Rishus HaRabim that's outside the Gina? It's only a Shar. It's only a gate. There's no bias. is Asur Mikan Umikan. Okay, so he has a long footnote on this. But let me just read the simple translation. He says, Sha'af Kasher Mafteach Munach Me'al Lamino. Oh, he's still assuming, as we said before, that the gate itself has the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. It's again above 10 Tfachim, and it's got a width of 4 Tfachim. So then we have the following problem. Ein b'tiltula misham el mokom li'itzoso b'manu'ul kol havaris v'shuyos. I guess he's asking a question here. It says asur mikan ulekan, and what's the problem of asur mikan ulekan? If we assume that the mafteach is on top of this lock of the gate, and therefore it's in Rishus HaYochid, it's above 10 Tfachim, he says, Ein b'tiltulo misham el mokom ni'itzoso b'manul kol avaris v'shuyos. Oh, he's talking about the relationship between the key and the keyhole. And the keyhole is in the gate, obviously, and the key itself is munach. It's resting on a platform, let's say, a little rim that is 4 tfachim wide, and therefore has the status of Rishus HaYochid. So therefore, when he takes the key and he locks the door, he's not taking it out of Rishus HaYochid. There's no avaris v'shuyos. It stays in Rishus HaYochid. That's as far as the location of the key is concerned. The key itself is going from one part of Rishus HaYochid to another part of Rishus HaYochid, from the shelf to the keel. But where is he standing? Oh. Me'achar v'haposeach, meaning the human being. Omei b'Rishus HaRabim, he's either on this side of the gate, which means he's on the Rishus HaRabim side, or he's on the Gina side of the Carmelis, he's locking it from the inside, is in both cases Kayam Chashash Shebi Eis Netilas HaMavtech Mimkomo Yoridenu Etzlo. Ah, I see what he's saying. If he, instead of taking the key from the shelf where it's resting, putting it into the keel and then putting it back on the shelf, he takes the key with him, and he's standing, let's say in case number one, out in the Rishus HaRabim side of the gate, he's locking it from the outside, then he has taken the key from Rishus HaYoch to Rishus HaRabim. But now we have another possibility, that he is standing in the Carmelis, meaning he's on the inside in the Gina, and he's locking the gate from the inside. Kayam Chashash, Shabbos Natil Sav Tefim Komo, is Yori Denowitz, so just 1 second. The key itself is in Rishus HaYochid. He's standing in a Carmelis. So we're afraid that he'll carry the key from Rishus HaYochid into a Carmelis. It sounds like this Brisa reflects the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Even though I don't see that Rabbi Meir's name is mentioned here. Later on it's going to mention Rabbi Meir. So let's just analyze. This Brisa, in the light of Rabbi Meir, is applying the principle of upgrading Carmelis to a kind of quasi Rishus HaRabim status, and we're afraid that if the key is Munach Rishus HaYochid, he takes it back into the Gina where he's standing, into the Carmelis. He's basically on a Drabbana level carried it from one Rishus into another Rishus. That's Rabbi Meir's Shita. V'chein, Chanios Hapsuchos Lushusa Rabin. So the store is opened up into Lushusa Rabin, and he wants to open up his store on Shabbos. Bisman Shamanul Matamea Sora. If the key is located below 10 tefachim, and again, in my mind, I'm trying to figure out, does that make it into, it can't be a makom p'tur if it's below 10 tefachim, because Rishus HaRabim is ole asara tefachim. So I don't think this could be a makom p'tur. Is maybe Mavteach Meir of Shabbos, Umeinicho Be'iskupa, Ulamachar Poseach V'Noel, Umachziro L'Iskupa. So he's saying that he's allowed to take the key and put it on the Iskupa. The Iskupa is like the threshold. Now, we're going to have to assume, this was, I think, a sugya that we once learned, I'm not sure exactly where, somewhere at the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, that the skupa has the status of a karmelis, because it has rochav arba. Do you remember that case, back at the beginning of Masechet Shabbos? Anyway, so now, he's standing in Rishus HaRab. And the key is located in a karmelis. So let's say if on Erev Shabbos he puts the key, right? He puts the key in a karmelis, which is called an iskupa, and the manu'ul itself is a karmelis. So he's taking it from a karmelis to a karmelis. The only problem is he's standing in Rishus HaRab. So why is this not included in the Gzera? He writes, "Iskupa yichol lios b'rishus harabim, rishus harayel yicholim o karmas amakum p'tur v'itayim." Okay, so again, I'll tell you what I do understand, and I'll tell you what I don't understand. What I understand is he's carrying the key from a makom hanocha, where the key is sitting, to a keyhole, and they both have the status of a karmelis. The only problem we have here, which we don't understand, is that he's standing in Rishus HaRab. That's what it says, Chanuyo Sapsukos Shusarab. So he's trying to open up his store. And why would Rav Meir say that this is permitted? That I don't understand. Okay. Lemachar, meaning on Shabbos, he's standing on the skupa, Uposeach V'Noel, Umachziro L'Skupa. So he's allowed to lock the door, because the lock of the door is a karmelis. It's Lamata Me'asora. And then he puts it back where it came from, in the Iskupa. So all his tiltal was in a karmelis, from one karmelis to another. All right. But he says here in the footnote, Rashi Pirusha Omei Bishus HaRabim. I thought that was problematic. V'hosif Shemi Bava Zumochicha Gemara Behemshech Shravi Meir Chazar. Oh, I see. The Gemara is going to actually raise this problem. Okay, fine. So we're not doing too badly. Now, Ubizman Shamanu Ulam Malamei Asara. So let's assume that the keyhole is now in Rishus HaYochid. And now he's going to take the Mafteach from the Eskupa. And the Eskupa, we said, is a Carmelis because it has the Rochav of Dalet, Tfachim. And it's above Lovud, right? So now he's going to open up his manul, which is in a Rishus HaYochid. That's not good. He's not allowed to take the key from an Eskupa, which is a Carmelis, to open up the lock, which is in a Rishus HaYochid, because it's above 10 Tfachim. So he's carrying from a Carmelis into Rishus HaYochid. This has nothing to do with Gzera. I mean, this is exactly what he's doing right now. So that he's not allowed to do. But rather, maybe Mafteh Perev Shas Menichu B'Manu'ul. He should stick the key inside the keyhole, or on top of the lock, which is a Rishus HaYochid. U'lamachar, and now he's allowed to stand on the Eskupa and take the key from where it is above the lock and then lock the door. And we're not afraid that he'll take the key from Rishus HaYochid into the Carmelis where he's standing. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Again, all this seems to be to contradict what we said in Rabbi Meir until now, that we're afraid that he might actually take it out into a Carmelis. Chachom omrim af bizman shamanu'ul lemala me'asor tfachim. Even if the man'ul is in just 1 second. Even if the man'ul is l'mala me'asor, which means that it's the keyhole, let's call it, right? The lock is in Rishus HaYochid. Maybe Mafteh Me'er Shavs Menicho B'Skupa. U'lemochar Posech V'Noel. U'machzil L'Mkomo. And he could put it back into the Carmelis, into the Eskupa. Oh, B'Chalon Shal Gabi HaPesach. Which is apparently a makom p'tur if it's not for tefachim. Im yesh b'chalon arba barba asum im neishu kemotzim rishus l'shus. Okay, we'll have to stop here because we ran out of time. So again, tomorrow Mirtz Hashem will review the price in all its many different parts, and then we'll try to understand the machlokas here between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in the case where the Man'ul is above 10 Tfachim, and how that relates to the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim in our Mishnah. Okay, and then so let's make a note here. We're on Daf Kuf Aleph Omid Beis, and we're up to Umi Dika Amar.